Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio on Radio MD.
And you thought that getting ready for your wedding night was just going to be a, well, walk down the aisle. Well, it is, but things get a little more complicated when you're thinking about what really goes on during that wedding night. Is it supposed to be hot and heavy, or do you just sort of collapse in a small heap? What goes on? Well, we have our go-to expert, Dr. Felice Dunas. She has a PhD, and she teaches about human behavior and energy. She's spoken all over the world, and it's going to help us understand what this is really all about. Her book is Passion Play. Her website is happyloving.com. Dr. Dunas, welcome to Her Radio.
Well, Dr. Peek, thank you so much for inviting me.
All right, so what do couples tend to do that, well, either helps or hinders that wedding night? What are the expectations all about? Help us understand that.
Oh, my. There's so many expectations, and they're so very high. And I think this is really a shortfall in the thinking of the bride and groom, and even the parents of the bride and groom, who were once married themselves and should warn their children, keep your expectations of the wedding night low. When people have really high expectations, it's very easy to be disappointed, and you're going to remember your wedding night for the rest of your life. So set low expectations so you're surprised if anything happens to work out.
Now, see, that blows my mind. Is there any data out there, you know, about what actually happens, you know, on a wedding night? In other words, you know, 50% of the time they have the hot and heavy, and 50% of the time they just collapse in a small heap and can't believe they just got through that. I mean, I'm just curious, has anyone really looked at data about this?
Yes, there is data out there, and the truth is, it's not 50-50. I know. I've been involved clinically with couples for over 30 years, and I can tell you I have met one couple that reported to me that the greatest sex they've had of their life together was on their wedding night. One couple.
Only one couple?
Years.
Oh, my God. Well, they obviously didn't do any drinking or anything on their wedding day. Oh, my gosh. They had a clean night.
Well, that was part of it. You know, they actually set up their day so they would have energy to enjoy one another's company on their wedding night. They intended it. They planned ahead. Now, my clinical experience is not reflective of the data, but let's just say that it's the majority of people, the majority of newly married couples who run into high expectations and lower level follow through, and thus some degree of disappointment about their wedding nights. And this is why couples need to be very gentle and very kind with themselves, and frankly, very practical. If you take a more practical approach to how much energy you're going to have at the end of that tremendously long buildup, you can either prepare for great sex on your wedding night to make sure you have the vitality and you haven't drunk too much, or you can set your expectations low and have a really lovely wedding night that's a lot more peaceful than you might have anticipated.
I think everyone out there really needs to be listening in on this, because I think that there's a real stereotype. Don't you? I mean, don't you think there's a stereotype out there that this is supposed to be the big one? And, you know, after all the frolicking and back and forth, you're supposed to just have this wedded bliss, this almost a fantasy night. I mean, I the more I think about it, the more I think that's what people set themselves up for. And I think that at the end of the day, especially if they're going to be traveling, good grief, some of them just, you know, get off to that honeymoon that night. And I can't imagine, you know, after traveling, especially if it's far away, you're going to be up for much of anything. I mean, don't you think?
Well, you know, gourmet sex just like a gourmet meal, is something you have to plan for. Now, is there a possibility that you've got a few things in your fridge and you can throw them together and you've got a gorgeous gourmet meal? Yeah, that's possible, but it's far more likely that you have to plan ahead. Why people don't think about lovemaking in the same way has always confounded me. We expect to have fantastic, rich, intimate sex. We want all of our nerve fibers to be firing at an accelerated rate, so the sexual sensations are really intense. And somehow we want all of this to happen with absolutely no planning. In fact, on the wedding day, you've spent so much time and energy diverted in many directions, the likelihood of gourmet sex, if you use my metaphor, is really pretty low. And that's why I'm suggesting people need to think in a very practical manner. If great sex on your wedding night is really your goal, then you need to plan your wedding day so you're up for it. My suggestion is always that you cuddle and that you rest and you reminisce and you enjoy yourselves in a sensual way, but you save the lovemaking till you've had a really good and really long night's sleep.
So I think your idea is absolutely superb. It makes all the sense in the world to me. One of the things that strikes me as I listen to you, Dr. Dunas, is that I think a lot of people have an over-romanticized a fantasy about what love is all about and lovemaking, and that it should just happen organically, and that if you start kind of beginning to, as it were, plan and be proactive about it, that you're being too analytical and you're kind of taking away from the romance. And I think you're arguing that if you really want to be able to capitalize on the quality of the relationship and the interaction, that planning just has to happen, right?
Well, isn't that how it really is if you look at a dating relationship from the very beginning? People plan for dates. People plan for getting dressed and looking great, and sometimes they'll take a rest beforehand, or they'll shower, they'll put on cologne or perfume. Everyone gets ready. But once you're in a longer-term relationship and you're more committed to one another, people stop getting ready to be sexual. And then they'll say, well, this is boring. It's not spontaneous. What we really need to let your readers and your listeners know is that the best sex has always come with some planning. Always.
Oh, got to remember that one. Oh, that's a good one. The best sex always comes with plenty. You know, when you get down to it, you're absolutely right. You know, reminding us about the dating thing, you're right. I mean, think of the hours that go into that. I mean, you're shopping for things and you're setting it all up and you've got the candlelight thing happening. And yeah, you're absolutely right. So why should that change just because you're married now? Because this is your wedding night, and that you're going to have to, you know, really look at this for a lifetime. I think your point is incredibly well taken. I want to make sure everyone knows that we're talking to Dr. Felice Dunas, and that's spelled D as in dog, U-N-A-S, and she's a PhD. The title of her book is Passion Play, and her website is happyloving.com. And what we've been talking about is the wedding night, and to really be able to adjust your expectations so that what happens is you're not going to ruin your wedding night by thinking you're going to have some unplanned bash, when really, in essence, you have to plan ahead. And if cuddling and just collapsing in a small heap is good with you, that's awesome. But otherwise, you got to be thinking about this ahead of time. Dr. Dunas, thank you for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and for crying out loud, if you got a little question for us, then email us at askher@radiomd.com, and we're right there with the answers, right on the radio, too. Hey, stay well.